Hey there, welcome to ATL in 29, a podcast where we look at the NBA from the starting point of Atlanta. Tonight we start actually in Charlotte, where the Hawks played their season opener and lost to the Hornets. Glenn, take it anywhere that you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they just look like a team that's still getting used to what they're trying to do on offense. Yeah, I mean, this game comes down to they just didn't make shots in my mind. They had some issues on defense, which we can kind of get into. But I think, to kind of start off with the obvious, I think the most obvious factor, it's their guards didn't make shots. Trey didn't make his first three until like the last minute of the game. DJ floaters, other shots he was trying to make didn't go down. Bay made one three, Bogey made one three, and they just need more shot making from that group to win games. So I thought that was the kind of the biggest factor there.
I have to admit that early in the season, I'm more interested in the defense. I feel like I'm watching the defense first, more so than the offense. And I'm intrigued. Like, I think that I like the way that they're using their aggression. I think they're getting a knack and a timing for it. I think they're getting good at, they're playing an aggressive scheme, and that has pros and cons, but I think they're getting used to playing that way, at least at the front end, where you get the benefit of it. But at least they are getting the benefit of it, which is, they're getting in the passing lanes the right way. They're getting a lot of deflections. They're timing things well. They know when a pass is coming. And they can kind of get out and either make that pass very hard or just take it out all take it away all altogether. There's still some organization on the back end that needs to be cleaned up. I thought Saddiq struggled with that a little bit in the first half, even though he had
For
a good
sure.
game, and his aggression at the front end was some of the good stuff that I'm talking about. So like he's doing well on the aggressive side of it, but when you're trying to triage things on the back end, he's still struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I thought
And I
if
think
I
that
could.
teams, one more thing before we
Yeah,
go on.
yeah.
Teams, I think, are adjusting quickly. And we saw, second half adjustments where teams are getting used to it and figuring out how to get stuff out of the backside. I think Charlotte adjusted to it. And in the second half, they were able to get more things coming to the rim out of the weak side corner.
Yeah, totally agree. And I was curious if this jumped out at you too, but I was thinking back to the preseason. The Hawks faced basically 1-5 pick and roll, and Clinton and Yeka were up a lot. We talked about that, as we were kind of covering those games. And tonight it was like just PJ Washington was so good tonight. He's so good in the short role. And so you had like in the first half, the weird thing was you'd see kind of Saddiq and Clint on the backside of the play, and they wouldn't be well connected. Their timing on rotation or help, shading help, whatever it was going to be, going to organize was just clunky. And I would stop and think, I don't think they ever did that one time in the preseason. Because I don't recall anyone for pick and roll. Like when they played the Pelicans, Zion basically plays as a face up four, right? Embiid plays in the middle where there's delay or some pick and some ball screen to kind of set him up, whether it's not traditional pick and roll or whatever. And so I just thought like, if you kind of watch how they played, in the second half, you could tell the coaching staff helped them get some of that cleaned up. But then in the second half, like, they needed shooting on the floor badly. They needed to find somebody who could kind of find a rhythm because it wasn't Trey, it wasn't TJ, it wasn't Bogey. AJ played a little bit, didn't really get it going, and same with Bay. So Bay attacking with his dribble has some success, but like Quinn had to pull Bogey off at one point in the third quarter because he was kind of he was losing his feel for kind of managing himself, down towards the rim and the paint. So I think part of it tonight was not just like, oh, first game. I think that's part of it, but I think the bigger part was just that Charlotte was running very different stuff. And PJ Washington is, maybe one of the most underrated kind of offensive connectors at the power forward position. in the league. His decision making, I think, was perfect all night long. The pass, the shot, the runner, the floater, moving the ball to the weak side, kicking it out, whatever. I mean, he was like, give him an A plus for tonight. And so when you have that 1-4 pick and roll going, the other impact here is last year, for example, and there are other examples, JC is a guy who's spent time at the five. And so he had, I mean, how many reps, defending pick and roll in the middle of the floor? Now the Hawks are playing power forwards that haven't spent time at the five, whether it's Sadiq, Hunter, Jalen, those were the kind of that was the grouping tonight. And so that's they don't have those reps that a power forward who's been some of his time at the center is going to have. And I thought that showed up in how they struggled to defend the short roll. So Charlotte ran stuff they hadn't seen in the preseason, have a really good kind of versatility skill power forward functioning in the short roll, making decisions. Then the Hawks have power forwards that, you think about it, don't really have a lot of reps defending a high volume of, pick and rolls, even the 1-4 style.
I like that. Hey, I agree. Yeah, PJ Washington was terrific, and he that's exactly. I think the Hawks are sort of set up to sort of, prey upon teams that don't have that kind of connectivity, but PJ Washington certainly provided it. Where else do you want to go with this?
So the other thing that kind of jumped out at me was when Bay and Jalen were playing together, which I don't know how much they played together in the preseason. I think it was just one. I'm just going from memory. I think it was one game. Excuse me. They got some extended minutes, and it was Bay at the three and Jalen at the four there. And Bay, to your point, kind of Bay was better, I think, up the four. I think you're exactly right about that. Yeah, but Jalen, I feel like, was just still kind of trying to get a feel for the spacing of this new scheme and the timing of this new scheme. And so that was interesting to me that kind of Quinn rolled quite a while kind of with that pairing there. You wonder, like, if Wes Matthews were healthy, would he have kind of been thrown out there to kind of give a little bit of a different kind of experience level, there or not? Not sure about that, but it was interesting the way I thought Quinn used Hunter, Bay, and Jalen. I still think, with the offense struggling so much in, especially in the second quarter and some parts of the third quarter. Third quarter, I think, was their worst points kind of output. But Jalen really covered up a lot of that with his transition work. And that's something that, like, I think a lot of teams don't have that on their bench. I don't want to have a fight about whether Jalen should be starting. If that's happening on Twitter, and I try to kind of jump in and have some comments and stuff. But it's really, I mean, Jalen kind of kept them in the game offensively for some long stretches in this game, I thought, with his transition play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little torn. Like, I don't really want to engage in the, oh, Jalen has to be starting, but I do think that it's kind of weird. Like, I do, I think if you sort of break it down and try to come up with the right pairings, like, I still think that Sadiq and Clint go well together. Jalen and Onyeka go well together, not just because they have complementary skill sets, but they literally are just on the same page. They just play well with each other too. So I think those pairings work. I just something about having Hunter, Bay, and Capella all in there, it just worries me that they don't have enough passing. I don't think that this was DeJounte's best passing night either. And so, if all the passing for the entire offense comes down to Trey and then just hoping for decent ball movement from everybody else, it's just hard. Like you get out of sync, you don't catch the ball in your shooting pocket. Like you just don't have what you need when, you've got a lot of different skill sets out there. Clint's doing so much, with the offensive glass, Bay, gives you that shooter drive threat. Hunter's giving you stuff on the defensive end. But I just somehow I feel like when push comes to shove this year, like if you really believe in the Bay Capella pairing, I think you have to figure out a way to get Bogey on more. I think you just need that. I don't know. That's sort of the way I feel about it. Like, I don't really care who starts or who finishes, but just like trying to think about groups that are going to play well together. I think, Bay Capella kind of works, but it needs a little bit more connectivity to go with it. I don't know if that's bogey for DeJounte, if that's bogey for Hunter. Like, how do you make it work defensively? It's just so weird. Like, I don't know. It's hard to see that offense getting smooth unless there's a little bit more to work with from a passing perspective.
Yeah, it does feel like Quinn's got a multi-dimensional kind of problem to solve there, right? If you leave Hunter on because you trust him at the point of attack, and he was their best defender on ball tonight, for
Sure.
sure. I think Quinn is still showing us that he recognizes with this roster construction that they're going to have to lean on scheme. And every NBA coach will tell you team defense is at the top. That's the top priority, right? And executing that as a team and stuff like that. But there were possessions where, Hunter was staying attached to the ball, working over screens, kind of the stuff that he's good at. But you're right to call out that on offense, how many years have we watched him play now? And he has two or three kind of things he can kind of go to. Those are not things that are likely to be featured apart from just certain matchups, here. And so do you take Hunter off and put Bogey on? And if you do that, how do you handle the point of attack, right? Are you being really aggressive with your center really up to the level of the screen all the time there? Then you have to be really organized behind that on the play. And so I think you've kind of wrapped it and kind of laid out for us a really good kind of description of what that kind of lineup and rotation challenge is for Quinn. Last year, when Quinn didn't have either of his kind of offensive and defensive kind of schemes, whatever you want to call it, rolled out, he just leaned into shooting and was like, well, we're just going to outshoot the other team. And he did that a lot. Well, that never materialized tonight. And he tried to make it happen a few times with like getting AJ on with the right group and, getting Bogey kind of back on, and just no one made shots. They just, didn't shoot the ball well from the 3-point line at all. And then, DJ, I think it's a big adjustment for him. We talked about that last time we recorded. I think, someone had that good question. Josh, good friend Josh, I think I had that. And like, I thought the biggest missed opportunity of the game was, the Hawks coming down. I think about a minute left. And DJ gets the ball like right at the left 3-point break. And, ball closes out on him. I think it was ball. And Capella is slipping to the rim all by himself. And DJ takes a long dribble and then kind of delivers a bit of a soft pass to Capella, like right at chest level. So number one, like that pass was late. If that pass is on time, Clint ducks that without any defender near him, right? With it being late, he could have salvaged that by putting the pass right at the rim and letting Clint dunk that. That's not always DJ's instinct. Not like, Trey has that instinct, And so I don't want to kind of bash on DJ. This team is still kind of finding, so trying to find some rhythm of offense is the way that it looks, right? But like that was an example of DJ and Clint just being two guys that things are just going to be a little slower. You know what I mean? With those two
Yeah, I
guys.
mean,
And that was a play where
I
bang, bang, it needed to happen. If they get that, they're down two, going back to defend with 48 seconds left on the clock or whatever it is. And they're right there. But that was a huge missed opportunity.
yeah, I mean, I think I get a little bit of what DeJounte was doing there. Like, he was making sure that ball couldn't deflect it. Like, he strung the play out a little bit so that there's just no way that the pass doesn't get through. Like, it can't be deflected. But I think you just take the chance on the deflection. Like, you just somehow get up high because Clint is, he's wide open on that. Like, there's nobody in front of him. But then again, it's like, you've got all these personnel problems. Like, you don't really want Clint catching it 10 feet from the rim. Like, you want him catching it at the rim. And, if he just sort of says, oh, well, Clint's open, here's the ball, like, he can't just do that. Like, he's got to get Clint to the rim a little bit as well. So it's a little bit dicey. And Clint, You're right. Because DeJounte was late, there was a hell, the defense got to the rim when Clint was there. He still got to do something with it. Like he just kind of took it under the rim with him. Like you've got to do a little bit of body control, make some contact, get your shot blocked. That would still be a better outcome than what he did. He just took it with him out of bounds. Like there was just nothing there. Like, I don't know. I would put a little bit on Clint and a little bit on just Clint's skill set in that he's got to get it at the rim. Like if it's Onyeka, you can give it to him 12 feet from the rim. He's going to take a power dribble and go do something with it. But I don't know. You don't really do that with Clint. So it's kind of weird. And I think that's actually a good problem that illustrates, DeJounte's not a perfect passer. Clint's not a perfect playmaker unless he gets it in exactly the right spot. So,
Right.
gets a little bit thorny.
Yeah, it does. And you think like if that's Onyeka, you're exactly right. You can give it to him like wherever and whenever. He's got the touch, he's got the balance, all those things that he has that Clint doesn't quite have in the same way. If that's a Jaylen, if somehow that's Jaylen, whatever. Like just get the ball heading
Yep,
towards him and
just
he's gonna
get the ball past LaMelo and it's good.
Right. And so, and it's funny to think like tonight they were playing from behind, right? And the last three, four seasons, whatever it is, has been Clint is often pulled when they're playing from behind and they put more offensive lineups on the floor. And Quinn did not do that tonight. Maybe that was because they were struggling a little bit to rebound tonight. Maybe that was it.
I
Maybe
like
Clint just like,
Charlotte's young centers. That's a nice group they've got.
Yeah, Williams was really good tonight, and Richards is like just a really, really nice athlete, and he's very subtle on defense too. Just he doesn't like not he didn't make a lot of wow plays like he can sometimes, but he's just very subtle. He's settling in nicely, but I wonder like if I ask Quinn like, did you stick with Clint just because you wanted the reps? Like are the first 10 games just about getting certain lineups reps together? And making that a higher priority and trusting that that's going to serve your team better in the long run, that's not crazy to me,
Right.
you
Yeah.
know. So it's but it's hard to guess at like hey, what was Quinn's kind of top priority there, repetitions, or did he think that was his best chance to win, to win the game? We all I think a lot of times we're like, I try not to do it too much, but I think back to Utah, I'm like, he closed with Rudy all the time. Right, up, down, whatever, and because I think he valued the rebound and just kind of the anchoring and all that sort of stuff. But that was it's I think it's a great illustration to point out why Quinn's set of decisions with this team are really different. Like, does Onyeka give them a better chance to win that game if he's closing? If we hindsight being 2020, we can look at a few plays and think, yeah, maybe so, if Hunter comes off and they put more shooting on the floor, those bogeys on those last few minutes, but Quinn's watching, his shooters not make shots all night. So I think he probably felt like if we're going to win this, and he rode Jaylen really late till about, what, 50 seconds left in the game or something like that, right?
Right. Yep.
And I think my guess is he was thinking if we're going to win this, it's going to be defense and transition. That's going to be where this is going to be. And they were, if DJ and Clint execute that play, however you want to attribute fault or whatever, I don't really care about that. It's just describing what I saw. Then there, Quinn had his team down two with, almost a minute left. Go back, play defense. You get a stop. You got a chance right there. So it's just gonna be interesting. People had a lot of questions, a lot of great questions on Twitter. I thought a lot of great conversation on Twitter after the game, and people were like, what do you make of this? What do you make of that? I'm like, I need to watch this team play a few more weeks before I feel like I'm can call out patterns that I think I'm seeing. But I think a lot of what you described here really does capture some of the stuff that Quinn and his staff are likely working through right now.
And it's not like they were missing the boat on the late game substitutions. Like there was a situation where Charlotte was shooting free throws but before the Hawks were going to call timeout to set something up. And knowing that they were going to call timeout to set something up, they subbed in Onyeka, having already had Jaylen and Clint on the floor at the same time. So they had like three, their three best rebounders were in the game at the same time just because they were going to make sure they did. They gave themselves the best damn chance they could to get that rebound before the timeout.
Yeah, I know. That was something that drove me crazy with the last coaching staff that never did that. I think one time they did that, I remember. So that's good to see. But yeah, I mean, this team's going to shoot better than this, and this team is going to settle in defensively. There are a few, there was one play. I thought the other play that really jumped out was the play where Rozier made a runner kind of moving along the base, kind of, parallel to the left baseline there. And the Hornets put Clint and Hunter in the weak side corner and made Trey, DeJounte, and Sadiq defend the strong side. And PJ came out, set a great back screen on DJ, and Trey couldn't kind of work around that traffic. And Rozier got a runner. So I just thought the Charlotte out executed the Hawks tonight. Steve Clifford is a coach that one of the best defensive coaches in the league, in my opinion, and a guy who likes to simplify things on offense. And so, they had a kind of a dynamic of continuity, from that standpoint, that the Hawks didn't have tonight. Like Hayward is a veteran. Hayward like plays his role on that team perfectly. Even when PJ was out, they did some short role work with Hayward. Hayward's very good at that. And so I just thought Charlotte was more settled tonight. I thought they just were kind of looked like a team that had done the things that they were doing tonight before. And the Hawks looked like a team that, I thought they played hard. I thought they tried to make the right plays. I thought they stuck with it, through the adversity and what have you. I thought they just kept trying to play together and work together. So for me, like I know some Hawks fans find a loss to Charlotte, expectations being what they are, maybe related to Charlotte, expectations Hawks fans have for the Hawks. Like this is a loss that hurts you, and I think, you look at the last two seasons that they ended up playing and you look at what their results were against Charlotte. And I know some Hawks fans feel like, man, those losses like really hurt us in the standings. But this is going to take a little time for this team to kind of settle in on both ends of the court. I know this team can shoot the ball much better than that. And I think that what I saw on defense was the fight, despite the mistakes, they were getting them largely corrected in real time. Charlotte countered with adjustments that kind of created a new problem for them on the fly. Credit Charlotte for that. But I thought that they were, as they had issues, they were kind of actively fixing them, actively addressing them, getting things corrected, getting things tightened up. It's hard to kind of fix it all on the fly in the middle of a game, but it wasn't like they were just lost. They were actively working on the things that needed attention. And despite their terrible shooting performance, I thought that effort and that focus is what kind of kept them in the game.
Yeah, to go back to that Rozier runner, like it just feels like Clint has to do a little bit better job working with DeAndre to zone up on the weak side. Like Clint's got a 2.9. Like he's got to be in the lane as much as he can there. He was kind of staying out of the lane on the weak side. And it's like if DeJounte is fronting PJ Washington on the strong side, you've got to it ultimately didn't go to Washington, but like you've got to be over there to give some help. It's going to be very hard for them to get that ball to the weak side corner from the angle that they were at anyways. I don't know. There's just a lot of little things that they need to clean up in terms of.
And but for me, I don't know if like was Capella like, no, we're having issues rebounding on the weak side, so Hunter needs to go. Like, but did Capella and Hunter have a little bit of indecision between the two of them about who should, go show up there? And that's the thing. It's like if I've been watching this team play for 2 or 3 weeks now, I'd feel like I'd kind of know what the general rules that apply are there. But right now, I don't know what their preference is around that. Do they want Clint to stay with the big man on the weak side and give themselves the right kind of rebounding matchup that they want? Or do they want Clint to go show up at the rim and trust DeAndre to deal with the big man on the boards? I thought we all saw DeAndre rebounded really well against Philly. He had some issues tonight, in that category. Missed a few opportunities there. PJ could think of one. I think it was in the third quarter that PJ he got a rebound that they seem like DeAndre should have had. And this is not his strongest area of play, of course, but so it's just hard for me to, in some cases, to say to myself, no, this is what Quinn wanted them to do, right? Because I just need a little bit more time kind of watching this. I think that is the traditional thing, the center goes, right, in that situation, and that's probably what Quinn wants. But I want to give myself a little more time to kind of see how they sort situations like that out and go from there. So I need a little more time to figure that out. Maybe the most fun play of the game for the Hawks tonight, that Jalen and Onyeka pick and roll, which we saw a little bit of in the preseason, but led to a 3-point play for Onyeka. More of that. That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something you might need to lean into. Like they, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches to have Trey on those bench units as a playmaker with Jalen and Onyeka. Maybe that needs to be DeJounte, just so that maybe you need Trey with the starters more. Like I'm not really sure how it can shake out. Like, you know, again, I think you've got to balance the playmaking. I think there's still a little too much that they need from Trey playmaking with the starting unit, that if they try to get him with the bench too much, that it's going to get a little bit thorny.
Yeah, it looks to me like Quinn's trying to unlock some transit, like Trey plus Jalen transition stuff there.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. And then, but Bogey's actually really good in transition too. You want to talk a guy who knows how to sprint to a spot
Right.
to either create a shot for himself or to cause the defense to have to spread out and create space in the middle. He's so good at that. And so again, it's like if I could sit down and say, "Hey Quinn, it's what you're looking for here to try to kind of unlock." Trey's got the hit ahead. Jalen can, you know. Probably learning. Jalen's probably learning to rim run still a little bit. And Onyeka's quite good rim running. So Trey plus Jalen plus Onyeka plus Bogey, that's plus whoever else is on the floor. That's a nice group to run, right? Even though you don't think about like when you think about Bogey, you don't think of foot speed, but he's so crafty and so tactical in the way that he kind of executes there. So I wonder if that's what that's about. But it is interesting to think about. Also, I mean, like the last time we recorded, we talked about the fact that if you're going to let Onyeka and Jalen run a lot of five out, like you're taking the ball out of DJ's hands. And is that what Quinn wants right now? Is to run that type of action? Was that a part tonight of why DJ couldn't get a rhythm? You know, so there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of variables that Quinn has to kind of work through there. And but to me, like, this offense largely is going to go through Trey and DeJounte. And tonight, they didn't shoot the ball well at all, and they couldn't find a rhythm. I thought Charlotte defended what the Hawks were running really, really well, but Trey and DeJounte are better than that. Not really worried about that being a persisting issue in that way.
As you know, for what you say about Trey and DeJounte and struggles and not really having a rhythm all night long, like whatever they did out there, LaMelo Ball was like exponentially worse through the first half and the first couple of minutes of the third quarter. And DeJounte and DeAndre Hunter just botched a nothing switch, just a nothing, just a basic handoff action, just okay, you go here, I'll go here. They both went to LaMelo, and then they both realized that they shouldn't both be on LaMelo. They both left. LaMelo gave it up. The ball went right back to LaMelo, and all of a sudden, you know, he hits that shot. He hits a shot the next trip down, and he's in a rhythm that Trey and DeJounte just couldn't get in all night long. And it's like if you're not in a rhythm, and you've got their guy not in a rhythm, you got to keep him not in a rhythm, and you just gotta like do basic shit on defense and not screw that up. Like you gotta talk. And like even after the initial flummox, it seemed like they still didn't talk because they were both just like mirroring each other around the court. And it's, you know, he had enough time to pat himself on the head and scratch his eyebrow. You know, he could have done whatever he wanted before he got that shot off. That was just a horrendous switch. And that's the stuff you can't do, like when the margin is small. Like it was a struggle bus for everybody, and then all of a sudden it wasn't for Charlotte. And it's just stupid little things like that kept them from winning.
Why do I think that was DeJounte and Sadiq that made that mistake? Was it Hunter?
Yeah, it was DeJounte and Hunter.
I'll have to go back and look at that again. I'm old, Kevin, so you know, bear with me here. But maybe there was a different play where it was DeJounte and Sadiq. I'm not, you know, we'll have to go we'll have to see. I'll probably have to send her down. I'll probably go take a look and go, "Oh, Kevin was right." But you're right. It's like And from there, like that was from there, that was Charlotte's best offensive quarter. And you know, at that point in time already, she's making shots for the Hawks, and but Charlotte started getting to set their defense more frequently. That makes things just harder for the Hawks on offense, you know. So it's, you know, we coaches talk all the time about let your defense feed your offense, and the inverse or the converse, whatever the right word is there, can be true as well, where your defensive mistakes are making your offensive job harder. And especially a team that's coached defensively by a guy like Clifford, right? They're getting to get back and get organized and get situated. It's gonna be pretty hard on your offense in that way. So those defensive mistakes, I think, created, you know, kind of the story of this team not winning more games the last couple seasons is kind of putting themselves in a hole and having to work uphill the whole second half. And it wasn't so staggering in this case. The Hawks kind of stayed in contact and worked back, but it was still, you know, up a few, like, you know, self-inflicted errors that kind of created that kind of uphill dynamic. And in a game where you're not making the shots you'd normally make, it's going to be that much harder to get the win.
Yep. All right. Anything else you want to tackle here before we round things out?
I just want to caution patience. I know some Hawks fans are upset and kind of, you know, melodramatic, and I love all of you. Let's give this team a little time. I think, you know, Knicks on Friday, right? That's going to be hard, right? That group is carrying over a lot of continuity too, you know, in a way that helps them. But you know, we're one game in, and so you know, let's hang in there.
All right. Is that it? Anything
That's all
else
I
you want to
got.
tackle here?
Nope, I'm good. I'm good. It was yeah, I didn't get to watch live, but it was a fun rewatch. It's an interesting rewatch. I have a million questions about what we're seeing, and just need some more games to continue rounding out my understanding of what we got going on here, you know, scheme wise and all that sort of stuff. So ready for Friday.
All right, ready for Friday. All right, then. Good night, Bob.
Good night, Bob.